Let's go into the Word. Let's agree in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your Spirit that you have so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving. We say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this morning that the truth of God's Word is taught with accuracy, with clarity, with precision. There is no confusion or contradiction. Our hearts are receptive to receive the Word of truth this morning. And we declare and decree at the end of today's meeting, as saints, we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. So if you have the Bibles, which I believe you should be with, talk with me to Malachi. Are you in Malachi? I know we're not teaching on tithes today. Look at Malachi 3. Look at verse 6. Malachi 3, verse 6. It says, "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." Now, one of the things I want you to actually see in that verse particularly is a reassurance of a God that doesn't change. Now, so it means that by extension, when you see God, you should see a God who has been the same for time. So God is a God that doesn't have 2, 3, 4 sides. Are we together? Right? God is not a God that has 3, 4, 5, 7 sides. Right? Where by extension, we see that today he does good. Then tomorrow, he does evil. See, if God is a God that does both good and evil, in the real sense, we are safe to say that as believers, we can justify doing good and evil. Are we together? Because if you expect a believer not to do evil by default, yet God can do good and evil, it means you've successfully said that eventually a believer can be more sane than God. Are we together? Right? You've successfully said that a believer can actually do better than God. It means that, so think about it this way. We've painted a God over the years as a God that is double-sided. Are we together? What does that mean? So God can decide to destroy everybody tomorrow. And when he wakes up tomorrow, maybe he feels very good. Right? He can decide to say, "I love you all." Right? In the real sense, God is actually the God that changeth not. So if God can be identified in the person of Jesus, it means that whatever we find out as God in Jesus has always been God from time. So Jesus is not the softer version of God. Are we here? Now some of us think that Jesus actually came to persuade God. Right? So God was very angry. And Jesus just came and said, "What do you want? Because it's blood." And what now happens? Then Jesus now gives his blood and puts it in a basin. And now takes him to the Holy of Holies. He now says, "God, this is the blood you asked for. Are you okay now?" And after God now actually looked at the blood, maybe he drank it. God now looks at the earth again and says that everybody is just misbehaving anyhow they want. And God must wake up one day and say, "Angel Gabriel, the trumpet in your hand, is it still working? Okay, blow it." Jesus will now go and kneel down before God. "Please now, have you forgotten my blood? Have you forgotten my blood? My blood is still remaining. My blood is still there." But we now say, "I give them one more chance." You see, and that is why we found different points in time, people begin to talk about the second coming and begin to sell off their things. Are we together? And we just say, this life, is coming. You know, people say we will not survive COVID. You know that? People have said, "Well, no," people have said it. Now, that is what you do, but nobody is asking for your certificate, vaccination card. Nobody sent you. If you have black mouth, everybody has moved on. You know, but people thought that would be the end of the world. You know, there was a flu that caught mankind in the early 1920s-ish, and it killed millions of people. That was much more dangerous than now, than this COVID. And guess what? This is 100 years after. People thought that the world will not survive. People thought that the world will not survive what happened in 1920. But guess what? Here we are. Are we together? You know the funny thing? The funny thing is that we don't need to pray for it or not pray about it. But in the real sense, there's a tendency that something worse than COVID will happen in the future. Mm-hmm. Right? So I begin to ask myself questions. People see the consistency of failed prophecies, for instance, and yet still keep going on that path. Mm-hmm. Are we together? So for instance, from the part of the world where I come from, an election happened very recently. And so many people spoke the counsel of God. No, let me say it better. So many people spoke what they wanted as the counsel of God. Mm-hmm. Right? And in that sense, you know, it caused division. Even people like me who don't talk online, people still unfollowed me. Why don't you fight for the masses? Don't do your mass. What made you mass? Yes. So in the real sense, people say, see, this is the wheel. And a lot of us watch what you call the inauguration, waiting for an arrest. Hallelujah. We look forward to the arrest. I've never watched inauguration, but I watched that one. I watched it on Channel's YouTube. And I was waiting. I saw the man, they went there, he clapped, he collected his email back up. I was waiting. I said, maybe he's outside the gate, they're waiting for him. Because he didn't allow them to come. He's like, and that's when people like, guess what? In another 4 years, that will repeat again itself. Mm-hmm. So you need to be able to learn what is God's will and God's counsel per time. God's will and God's counsel doesn't change per time. God doesn't, have that. For instance, let me go back and draw a little on that. Politics is man-made, You get into political offices by the decision of the people or how well you want to impose yourself on the people. Mm. Are we together? So the moment there is an option for people to make, you see, what does God do? He's not involved in such conversations. Are we together? Right? So it means that Jesus resurrected in Luke 24. And the first thing that they said to him was that, look at Luke 24. Don't forget, Malachi 3, I am the God that what? Changes not. So if you identify who God is in Christ Jesus, you've identified who God has been from time. Yeah? So look at Luke. So look at Luke 24. Look at verse 20. Look at verse 21 for time. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. Right? And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Now, what was happening? They had seen from the writings of scriptures or by prophecy that there will be a man who will redeem Israel. Do you understand? Look at it. They said, we thought he would have been he which would have redeemed Israel. That means they were waiting for a redeemer. Did you get that? Waiting for a redeemer. Now, the question becomes, what is redeemer to God? What is redeemer to man? Altogether. So they said, I thought he was the one that would redeem us. Now, mind you, history shows at the point of Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection, an imposter was in power. You know what it means for when you are, for instance, the UK? Imagine a country, and the person that is ruling the country is not from the country. Do you understand? He's not connected. Right? And imagine the person that is ruling the country is from another country. Right, so we, the members, the people of that country, right, can now start wishing for when will our people get to power. Mm. That's what they're wishing for. They said, we thought this is the person that will now give us back our throne. Mm. But today is the third day, he's not even alive. So did God promise a redeemer? Yes. Yes. Did they know the type of redeemer God promised? No. So what redeemer did God promise? The redeemer that will come and redeem man from sin. Are we together? They look forward to a redeemer that will redeem the political office, the governmental body. But God was going to be that redeemer that will go right in the midst of Pharaoh's yard to bring the man from Pharaoh's yard and take him all the way into Canaan, the land flowing with milk and honey. That's redemption. Are we together? Right? So, Jesus Christ, by extension, last week, we started paying attention to the use of words. And we said in Bible interpretation, you need to use words appropriately. Remember that teaching? Yeah. Right? And we said something very important. We said, you need to pay attention to the use of words when interpreting the Bible. We gave some examples last week. We gave an example, for instance, we spoke about the first fruit. Yeah? And we said the first fruit, while in our Western culture, has been used for your first salary in the month, in the Bible, was not used to teach that. Like we said that, the Bible is a Middle Eastern book, right? And you ought to sit in a Middle Eastern culture to understand a Middle Eastern conversation. Mm. Mind you, Moses, the writers of the scriptures, did not have you in mind. You see, Moses did not, he wasn't talking to the children of Israel and saying, I'm talking to you right now, but in my mind, I'm thinking of Joshua in 2023.
Yes.
So he didn't have us in mind. So what does that mean? It means before we apply biblical concepts into our world, we first need to understand their world. So we need to sit in their world first. They will not apply it in our world. Let me give you a quick example. How many of you know Passover? If someone says Passover to you, what does that mean? Jump and pass, right? Right? Passover, right? So if I ask an average person, what is the concept of Passover in the Bible? People think that God was the one destroying.
Yeah.
Then when they got to the house that had the blood, he will what? Pass over. Look at Ezekiel 12. Exodus 12. Use Bible words the Bible way. And what am I trying to explain today? Wooden love. What exactly is the love of God? Some of us have so personalized this love of God, eh? You hear some people say that if I were the only one on earth, Christ would have still died. Hey, but thank God you're not the only one. Are we together? Right? You know, I taught this on Wednesday quite extensive, and I said that the love God has for Christians is no more than the love he has for unbelievers.
Mm-hmm.
The earlier you realize that, the better. And that is because people don't understand this. That is why people begin to put God on their side to fight people.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand? You think God is so petty, right? And you think that because you are the most valuable child, you see yourself. See yourself. Remember where you are coming from. And don't even remember where you are. And you think because Sister Vim offended me. I'm going to report you to my dad. Daddy is pampering. you didn't get the song. Daddy is pampering. That's why you see some people are very funny. Their perspective of God's love is so unassuming. You see, I had a friend a few years ago. She fought me. I hope she doesn't fight me again today. But she said, every morning in the morning, the Holy Spirit says, baby girl. See, I have a very intimate relationship with God that he calls me. The Holy Spirit of God calls me his girlfriend. I just started crying and I broke down. But the Spirit of God touched my back. And, you know, he was just pampering me. And, you know, just telling me, I said, don't worry, tomorrow will be great. And don't tell yourself tomorrow will be great. You want to pamper you in the Spirit. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so people have that concept of love as it is. And guess what? You know, people say the Spirit of God loves them so much that it tells them the clothes to wear and the color.
Mm.
Right? where are you also going to? Let's just go there once and for all. Exodus chapter 12. Look at verse 13. He says, and the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over, right? And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. You see, there are too many I. In Bible interpretation, you need to know which I is talking. Are we together? You need to know which I is talking. I can be talking and the I is nothing about the I. Are we together? So, let me show you something quickly. If you look at verse 23, for the Lord will pass through to smite. When you see Lord in the Bible, even though it's capital letter L-O-R-D, it doesn't mean it is God. Look at it now. If you have a good Bible, the word Lord should be in caps lock.
Yeah.
Right? For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he sees the blood on the lintel and the two side posts, the blood will what? Pass over the door, and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to what? Smite thee. All together. Look at 1 Corinthians 5. Verse 7. 1 Corinthians 5, 7 says, "Purge out therefore the old living, that ye may be a new law, as ye are living. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us." So Christ is the Passover for the believer. Are we together? Christ is the Passover for the believer. Look at Isaiah 31, 5. learn to use Bible words the Bible way. Verse 31:5, Isaiah 31:5. As birds flying, so will the Lord of hosts defend Jerusalem. Defending also will he deliver, and passing over, he will what? He will what? So when God passes over, what does God do? Are you sure? So God passes over and he preserves. God passes over and he defends. God passes over and he delivers. So who is passing over in Exodus 12? Don't be perfect. Who is passing? Don't be shy to say. Who is passing over in Exodus 12?
Not God.
Okay, hold up. Go back to Isaiah chapter 31. Mm-hmm. Isaiah 31 verse 5. As birds flying, so will the Lord of hosts defend Jerusalem. Defending also he will deliver. And passing over he will preserve. So what is God doing? Preserving. What is God doing? Delivering. What is God doing? Passing over. So who is passing over in Exodus 12? And that's to be God. So the reason why it was hard to say is because you thought God is the one moving and jumping over when he sees. Now, I'll give it for free. The Hebrew word for the word Passover is the word that means to stop. Oh yeah. The word for the word Passover is a word in the Greek is the word Pasha, P-A-S-A-K-H. And it's a word that means to stop. It's a word that means to shield. It's a word that means to protect. Is the word that means to deliver. Right? So, who is passing over in Exodus 12? What is God doing by his passing over?
Preserving.
Preserving. You get it? You get it? In English language, what is preserving? What is passing over? You jump, then when you move, as you keep moving, you jump and pass because you see what? The block. So, Passover was an action. All together. So, Passover was first an action, then it became a celebration. What was the first action? To stop, to shield. So, what was God doing in Exodus 12? Shielding the people. From who? From who? From himself?
No, from death.
From death? From the destroyer?
Destroyer.
From destruction?
Yes.
Who was inflicting destruction? Any other person apart from God?
Yeah.
Look at 1 Corinthians 10. First Corinthians 10. Look carefully. He says, look at verse 10. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of what?
The destroyer.
Was there destruction happening in that Exodus 12?
Yep. Yes.
What was God doing? Shielding. Who is your Passover?
Jesus Christ.
From where? 1 Corinthians 5. You should remember now, Christ is our Passover. So Christ is our Passover. What is Christ doing as our Passover? Shielding. Where is he shielding us? In his vineyard. In his kingdom. Shielding us from what? The destruction of the destroyer. Use Bible words. Bible way. All together. Use Bible words. Bible way. So, in Bible interpretation, to a very large extent, you would need to actually understand. Last week, start looking at what you call the law. Right? And we said John 1:17. Look at John 1:17 quickly. The law was given by who? Moses. What did we say the word law means?
Teaching,
doctrine. Right? That's what law. The word law is the word nomos in the Greek. And it's the word teaching. The word, look at John 1:17 quickly. John 1:17. Are you there?
Yes.
Look at John 1:17. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Hold on. There's a word in that verse that is not there at all. What's the word? How do you know it's not there?
It's
at his sides. Okay, interesting. So, for the law was given by Moses. You know what you say, but, you know, the mind of man is so powerful. Mm. You can tell somebody that you are so gorgeous, so beautiful. You are the land that is flowing with the milk that I need to preserve in the days to come. You are the one that, but, you know, that's the only thing that person will pay attention to.
Yeah.
She's beautiful, she's lovely, he's handsome, he's tall, he's walking, but, is that what we hold on to? So if you apply that knowledge in Bible interpretation, you might miss a lot. So a lot of us, what we see here is that John 1 is making a contrast between two different things. So let's now read John 1, 17 without the word but. What does he read? For the law was given by Moses. Grace and truth came by Jesus. A lot of us believe that Moses did not know grace. Right? Moses is the man of law. The law. Moses is law. When you see law, just forget about law. We are under grace. We are liberty. Say liberty.
Liberty.
You know the grace of God as liberty is actually a constraint in life. One of these things, I will take a series on believers' conduct. And you actually find out that when it comes to liberty, your liberty is actually bondage. Are we here? You know, some of us believe that the liberty of grace is that anyhow I live, God accepts me. Hey, we're not saying God does not accept you. We are saying he accepted you and put you in a cage. Are we together? I don't know. We'll teach it very soon. Right? So, the great. So, they always believe that Jesus Christ is all merciful. Ah, wonderful. Ah, counselor. Right? And but when it comes to don't. Where is it written? Old Testament. Right? Old Testament. You see, God. So, no, yeah. But you know, I said over time that Jesus did not have the ability to quote Ephesians. Or let me say it better. Jesus never quoted Ephesians.
Yeah.
Jesus never quoted Colossians.
Yeah.
Jesus never read Matthew.
Mm-hmm.
So every time Jesus taught for his 3.5 years ministry and much more than that, they were opening Genesis to Malachi. So Jesus taught he's the savior of the world from Genesis to Malachi.
Mm-hmm.
So it means we need to look at Genesis to Malachi very well. Altogether, you see that division in your Bible that says New Testament. I would advise you tear it. Yeah, tear it, right? Because there is nothing written within Matthew to Revelation that doesn't have its precedence on Genesis to Malachi. That is all Jesus had as back. So when Jesus stood in front of people and said, "Open your Bible," what were they opening? Genesis. So they did not say. Jesus did not say, "Talk with me to Galatians to the 5." So you have Galatians 5 today, but they didn't have it. Yet they got to the conclusion of Galatians 5 from what they had. So it means before you get to the conclusion of Galatians 5, you must have read Genesis to Malachi thoroughly. So we think that Moses did not know grace. Moses was just giving them law. Smarty, he just thought he was angry. He just went and carried one paper and one right. Just write one law. See, this is a new law. That's an okay. You now realize somebody is lying again. Now go back to one holy mountain. Holy him and say it's God. Fire is burning inside bush. He just came back again with another. Say, this is a new law. Don't lie. He now went back again and said, adultery, don't lie. Go back to Exodus 33. Exodus 34, 6 rather. Exodus 34, verse 6. Are you there? So who wrote Exodus? And to the best of the knowledge, Moses. Right? So look at verse 6. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long suffering and abundant in goodness and what? Who is writing this?
Moses.
Did Moses know that God is gracious?
Yes.
And look at it now. Did Moses know that God is abundant in goodness and truth?
Yes.
He knew now. It wasn't new to him. So how do you read John 1:17? Well, go back to John 1:17 quickly. So is Jesus validating Moses when Jesus came into the, you know, the incarnation and all that?
Yes.
Would you think Jesus' ministry was to validate Moses?
Yes.
So Jesus validated Moses. Look at John 5 before you go to John 1. Look at John 5. John 5, verse 46. John 5, 46. Are you there? Have you gone? No?
Okay.
Look at John 5, 46. For had he believed Moses, you would have what? Believe me, for he wrote of me. Look verse 47, let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. If you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my word? So Jesus orchestrated his ministry, his teaching ministry, on the writings fundamentally of Moses. So anything that makes you say Jesus saves, Moses has been writing. Look at John 1. So what is John 1:17 saying? The law was given by Moses. Now, is law 10 commandments there?
No.
What will law be? Doctrines, teachings, writings. Yeah? So, how do you read that properly? Verse 17, John 1:17. For the law
was given
for the
doctrine.
So, can we say, for the doctrine of Moses is that grace and truth will be seen in the person of Jesus. So, what was Moses' doctrine? God is gracious. God is long-suffering. You see, Moses opens up the Bible with God's love and God's plan for humanity. He says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. In the beginning, God created. John 1, sorry. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Right? And the earth was without form and void. Darkness upon the face of the deep. And you see, the Bible starts with, in the beginning, heaven and earth. And supposedly ends with the beginning, heaven and earth. Look at Revelation 21. Revelation 21. We saw that on Sunday last week. Revelation 21. Are you Revelation 21?
Yes.
Look at 22 verse 1. And it showed me a pure river of water of life, clear and crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. So, is there a river that God supplies to man? So, you should have your hands in Genesis 1. Have your hands in Revelation 21. 22. Yeah. Why did God give you too many fingers?
To be holding this
picture. You got it. So, now go to Psalms 46. This one is thank you. Yeah, pastor. I mean, I've gone back to A. Look at Psalms 46. Look at verse 5. God is in the midst of her. You know, I've given you a narrative of a lady. You see, how do you go into conversations with people? Look for the best conversation to start with. I sat with a couple of friends a couple of years ago, maybe 2 or 3 years ago, somewhere in Edinburgh here, you know. And I knew I wanted to preach the gospel because you can't escape it as long as I'm there. Right? And then sometimes you will become to people what they think you are. You can make yourself look like you are in a conversation. They didn't know. For almost 2 hours thereabout, they kept talking, latest, this. I kept saying, how will I link this one now? Where will I start from? God heard my prayer. And all of a sudden, one lady just said, by the way, next week I'm going to, is it Glasgow or Virginia time? I'm going to Glasgow to put a tattoo. I want my tattoo to someone here. Right? And I want to inscribe Psalm 46. Quickly, I just said, yeah, sure. You mention Psalm, I'm around. Me, I'll be looking for time. See, I want to subscribe Psalm 66, verse 5. What does it say? God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her. And that right early. God is in the midst of me. Ha! And that's why people talk. 3 hours! Non-stop. I taught them the word for 3 hours. Like, we started opening. I don't know if she has done it at home now. But even if she has, I'm sure she will take the heart to me. And not put Psalm 46. So, she said God is in the midst of her. I just explained to her really. What is God in the midst of her? Is what you call a personification. From the part of the world where I come from, we have what we call the pledge. I pledge to Nigeria.
Your country.
Is in my country. To be faithful, loyal, and honest. To serve Nigeria is not a good. To serve Nigeria. To serve Nigeria with all. He now says to defend. Is Nigeria a girl? And uphold. Right? So when he says God is in the midst of her, go back to verse 4 to see the her. Look at verse 4. There is a river. The stream whereof shall make glad the city of God. What do you find in the city of God? What do you find in the city of God from Revelation 22? Look at 22 again. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as a star, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb in the city of God. So where do you find the throne of God? In the city of God now. Are we together? So the throne of God will be found in the city of God. So look at Psalm 46. It says, there is a river, and the stream whereof shall make glad the city of God. So it means that this river that he's speaking about makes gladdens the city of God. It supplies warmth, strength to the city of God. Right? It says, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most, tabernacle of the Most High, God is in the midst of her. So God is in the midst of who? The city. Right? The city, the holy place. Right? So God's throne is in the midst of the city. So what am I doing? I'm mixing Psalm 46 with Revelation 22. Are we together? Then right now, Hebrews will now tell you, we've come to where? Mount Zion. Are we together? The what? The city of the living God. The what? Heavenly Jerusalem. The what? The General Assembly. Are we together? The Church of the Firstborn. So where is God? In the midst of her. So are we all her?
Yes, sir.
You get that? You see, the Bible needs to be read without a gender bias. Are we together? You see, I see some believers. Well, the pastor will say, tell your neighbor you are the son of God, the daughter of God. Who sent you? Say you are the son of God. You say, am I a son? You come on, change your English. You rather say you are a child of God. Yeah, but it's just because you've not come to understand that sonship as used in scripture is not for male species, but for a person that has an inheritance. Are we together? Right? Why do you think the son that is predominant in the Bible? And it's because God will use the biases of men to communicate his word to man. So Revelation 22. So if you look at Revelation 21, and I saw, Revelation 21 now, verse 1, and I saw a new what?
Heaven.
So from Genesis 1, you said God created the heavens and the earth. You now come to Revelation 21, and it says, I saw a new heaven and earth. So it means that from Genesis 1, what God has been planning to speak about, or what Moses has been speaking about is what? The new heaven and earth that John will see in Revelation 21. Did you get that? So when you say God created heavens and earth, that sounds like a light bulb. Right? So when you see Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning God created heavens and earth. Are we together? Where should your attention go to? This sky?
No.
It can't be the sky. Are we together? It can't be the sky. Right? So the heavens and earth will be a concept to talk about where God wants to create as the city of God. Okay, hold on. The earth that was without form and void. Who is that speaking about? Is he saying everywhere was scattered, tree upside down?
No.
Animals were walking backwards. That's what it means, the earth was without form and void. Right? Jesus will tell you, Paul will tell you, let's go there. Don't forget, we are still in where? Genesis 1, by extension, Revelation 1. You can close Psalm 46. Look at, when I say she goes in 2 Corinthians 5. You see, the love of God is not an overnight change of mind plan that God had. People think that God created the earth and God did not know ahead what will happen. Then when man shocks God, man will say, who can I pick from the backyard? Jesus, are you ready? Calm down. Let me prepare you. He now folded Jesus and say, enter inside Mary's womb. Right from the beginning, God has had a plan for man to die for. For God has man to die for man. Are we together?
Yeah.
That's why you see the prophets spanning across thousands of years will be saying the same thing. God loves man. God cannot change. God will die for man. Look at 2 Corinthians 5. 3, sorry. Or look at 4. Just so that we don't go. Okay. Still have 3 hours. Sorry. 2 Corinthians 4. Look at verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Hold on, who is writing 2 Corinthians?
Paul.
Paul. What was Paul's Bible?
Genesis
to Malachi. So it means when you see Paul talk, you should find what he's speaking about. Are we together? So, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Look at verse 4. In whom the God of this world, that God there, is it God, our Lord and Savior?
No.
So it means a word will only make sense in the context. So the word God in the Bible doesn't speak about God, our Father, our Lord and Savior every time. Just the same way we saw the Lord that will smite in Exodus 12. And the Lord that will smite. Put it. So, don't read the Bible and say, when you see capital letter L, it's God, 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 God. Then it's when it's another small letter L. We saw capital letter L, O, R, D. And we saw by Bible interpretation, it is about the destroyer.
Yeah.
Are we together?
Yep.
So, look at it again. He says, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not. Look at what it says. Lest the light of the what? Okay. Glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine upon unto them. Where is the first place you see image in the Bible?
Genesis
1. God created man.
His
own. So where is Paul teaching from?
Genesis.
So you've identified first is that he's teaching Genesis 1, 26, 27.
Yeah.
But before you got there was something he said. Light of the glorious gospel. Where is your first mention of light? Genesis 1, verse 3. Are we together?
Yeah.
So he now says, verse 6, for God who commanded light to shine out of darkness. Genesis 1.
Yeah.
Are you here?
Yeah.
For God who commanded light to shine out of darkness has shone in our heart. So when God said let there be light, where should that light have shone in? Heart of man. Are we together? For God commanded light to shine out of darkness. He has shone in our heart to give the what?
Light.
The light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the person and the face of Jesus. So Genesis 1:3 says God said let there be light. What is light? Let there be the knowledge of God in the person of Jesus. So is Jesus an afterthought or a beginning thought?
Beginning thought.
You get that? So God, out of his love from time, had planned for mankind. So it's not when man did something evil that God now said, what is the remedy? No, it is. So God is not a reactive God. God is a proactive God. Are we together? Right? So, to say that God destroys people because they do evil, it's almost like saying that God did not know ahead of time that they would do evil. So, when he finally saw the evil, he shocked him. To say that God has anger is to say that God cannot see beyond his nose. Happy are you if you actually don't take note of the word nose in what I said. Are we here? What is that? Why do you get, why, let me not say you.
You all don't get angry.
Why does a man get angry? It is that another man, you know, it is human beings that make people angry.
Yes.
Right? If you are known ahead what somebody will do, let's assume you bought food in the house and maybe you have a flatmate, right? And you put the food in the fridge. And as you put it in the fridge, you knew this person will eat it. I want to get, don't everybody look at me. Don't look at anybody. Right? So you knew the person will eat it before you get home. You know how you will react when you finally get, you know, you even get back home and not bother to go and check because I trust you without eating. The reason why a man gets upset or a woman gets upset is that I'll be nice, my wife did something with it. Better bribe me. I can never forget this thing. I went all the way to Nigeria. I went all the way. And I cried, that's when you say overseas. And I bought that meat you call the one that comes with newspaper. You know? So I bought meat. Everybody doesn't understand, just meat. Right? I bought meat that is usually divided in bits. And I bought it all. And happy am I. I shared to people, gave people who were eating, enjoying. I mean, I kept a portion. I knew where I kept it in the fridge. She has eaten well. She has eaten well. Surplus. More than every other person she ate. And I traveled for retreats. I went to seek the face of the Lord. Not knowing that what was seeking me. And I came back. So I came back home. I think she was at work or something. I came back home. And I went to the freezer. I knew the corner I kept it. Went to the freezer. I opened it. I didn't see anything there. I closed it. I said, no, no, it might be somewhere else. I went to the room, went to do something else. I came back there. I opened the freezer again. And I opened it to the bar. I'm like, it's not here. Maybe she had, I was just, because I was rushing to do some other things. I was like, maybe she kept some for me in the fridge. Lo and behold, both fridge, mini fridge, deep freezer, nothing was there. So when she came back home, definitely I won't welcome her with that. I just gave her time to settle down. When did you keep? When did you keep our this thing? She said she finished it 1 week. In 1 week, she finished it. She said she didn't know when it was finishing. He did not know. Like as you are eating it, you didn't even know when you folded the pack. You know, so what can make me upset at that? I'm not saying I got upset. So you don't believe me. You don't believe that. I don't believe anything I'm saying. He's safer for you. So what can make a man upset when he finds that out? It is that it shocked me. Like, you know, you would have thought somebody would leave half. Just at least leave, even if you should put one more on the toothpick and just hang it somewhere in the plate. Do you understand? So anger can only be found in the bosom of a man who cannot see ahead. So if God can see ahead, it means that God cannot be angry. Do you understand? So he knows the end from the beginning. It means that nothing man will do will shock him. So what did God do? Ahead of time he made a plan. You see, I know what you people will do. Let me start using it as utterance. Prophets will say it. Prophet will say it. See, when the evil came, they said he was the one that redeemed the political sphere. Are we together? So, if you look at chapter 4 again, he says, God commanded the light to shine out of darkness. He shone in our hearts to give the light of knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. So, Genesis 1. So, let's read Genesis chapter 1 from verse 3 into verse 2. Did you get that?
Yep.
I'm going to read from verse 3 into verse 2. So let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. God said, let there be light, and there was light. And the earth was without form and void. Hold on. Where did God expect the light to shine? Heart of man. So where is the light shining in verse 3 and verse 2? On the earth. What is the earth? The heart of man. So what was void and without form and void? The heart of man. Where? In unbelief. So man was in chaos. Then God said, let there be light. What is light? The light of the knowledge of God in the face of Jesus. All together. So, Revelation 21. So, when John says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. So, what does he mean by there was no more sea? What we see, sea will be that which is outside God's heaven and earth. Don't forget, the Spirit of God moved over the face of the waters. That is the sea. That is where. So where is chaos found? In the sea. So what will God use to sort out chaos in the sea? Let there be light. What is light? Let there be the knowledge of my person, of knowledge of God in the face of Jesus. Are you following? So now you need to now be careful. You need to now be careful. So what is the first heaven and earth that was destroyed? Be careful. Be careful. Be careful. Okay, hold on. I've talked before. Heaven in the Bible primarily is not used for the sky. Used for what? The unseen or the supernatural world. Are we together? So when you say heaven and earth, what are you talking about? The unseen and the seen. Where should your mind go to for Moses' writing? The temple. So the temple by default will be where heaven and earth meets. So what will be the first heaven and earth that will be destroyed? Not the world though. That which is a practice of the first temple that man builds thinking they could build to house God. Did you get that?
Yeah.
Did you get that?
Yeah.
So we have two heavens and earth.
Yeah.
That which God has built, you and I, we are the temple of God. Are we together? But there was one which man built. Are we together?
Yeah.
And in building that, they thought they could build a place to house God. But God, Bible will say in Isaiah, so where's my place of rest? Altogether. You see, the book of Acts, you see the Bible says that, for God does not dwell in temples made with what? Hands. As the fathers did say. So look at 21 again. And I saw a new heaven and earth, for the first heaven and earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Look at verse 2. And I just saw the holy city. So when he says new heaven and earth, is it different from the holy city?
No.
It's the same thing.
Yeah.
So the new heaven and earth in verse 1 is the holy city in verse 2, which is the new Jerusalem. Are you seeing that? So the new Jerusalem is what you call prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Let's read verse 3 together. 1, 2, 3, go. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is where? So, please let me say something carefully. Tabernacle of God is where? With men. Where are men? On the earth. So where will the tabernacle of God remain? On the earth. So will the earth be destroyed? Don't be fast. Will the earth be destroyed?
Yes.
No.
Well, it depends on which earth.
Will this earth, where we are, be destroyed?
No.
Selah. Where is the tabernacle of God found?
Men.
Amongst men. Right? So he says, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall what? Be with them, and shall what? Be their God. Look at John. Look at Matthew 28, Matthew 24. So is God building a temple today?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. How is God building a temple? When you and I go out to preach, to bring men into his temple. So the temple that God built on by the resurrection, is it both a complete and an ongoing work?
Yes.
Yes. So when you say it is finished, it is so that you can what? Start. You understand? So you see, I said, I believe I say it's finished. Why don't you pray? You say, we don't pray for victory.
Not for victory.
We pray from victory.
Mm.
Hallelujah. Mm. So you see, their tongues has a little sprinkle of phonetics. Do you understand? And you just like, we don't live up. Why? You don't know new creation truth.
Revelation.
Right? You see, you say, why are you praying like that? Why are you labor? Right? Why? No. He's done it all. He's done it all. It's finished. I don't labor. You see, I don't go to labor market. I go to people market. They will not cut you. Are we together? Right? So, is God building a temple? Yes. So, is there a task for every member of God's temple now?
Yes.
Yes, so no other task supersedes that one. That is chief. That is chief. Why did I say should go to again? Matthew? Is it John 2 or Matthew 24? Go to John 2. If I touch this one, we will not close till 6. Just look at John 2. Look at verse 14. And found in temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves, and the changers of money. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money, and overthrew the what? The temple. And he said unto them that sold goods, take these things hence, make not my father's house a house of what?
Merchandise.
Right? And his disciples remembered that it was written that the zeal of his father's house had what? Eaten him up. Now look at verse 18. Then answered the Jew and said unto him, what sign showest thou unto us, seeing thou doest these things? Right? And Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. So, see their next answer. Look at the next answer. Then said he to the Jews, 40 and 60 years was this temple in building. That means it took 46 years to build what you are seeing. How can you say, destroy this and in 3 days I will build it? Are we together?
Yes, sir.
Please follow. He now says, verse 21, but he spake of the temple of his body. Is that new heaven, new heaven?
Yes, sir.
So what is the first heaven and first earth that will destroy? You getting it right now?
Yeah.
So he's not teaching all the cloud everywhere will just mix and become red. Because God's tabernacle, God's dwelling place is amongst men. You see, that's why the Bible says, who is man that thou art mindful of? On the earth, man is God's most prized possession. Altogether. But he spake of the temple of... Now look at verse 23, 22. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said unto them, and they believed what? The scriptures. So, did Jesus expect that... So, listen to what I'm about to say carefully. Did Jesus say one temple will be destroyed?
Yes.
Did he say it?
Yes.
Was the physical temple destroyed?
No.
So, if a first heaven and earth will be used with the word destruction, does that mean literal destruction?
No.
Did you get that? Let me say it one more time. Right? So, if he says this temple will be destroyed, he's not really saying destroy this temple. He's just talking, but we are around the temple.
Mm.
And he says, destroy this temple and the 3 days I'll raise it up. So, after, did not say it took 46 years to build this. I don't think you can even be able to destroy this in 3 days, in quotes. But he says, on the third day, I'll build it up again. Now, on that third day of the resurrection, did the temple scatter?
It was standing.
Do you understand? So, but was the temple destroyed?
Yes.
Okay, you're following. So, when first heaven and earth will be destroyed in Revelation 21, are you looking for back?
No.
You get it? I'm sorry. That's my problem. You can take a man out of... I cannot take the... Take a man out of the city. Are you following? So, the building of a new heaven and earth, is that what God is doing by the resurrection?
Yeah.
Okay? So, when... Matthew 16. So, this goal of a new heaven and earth, is it a sudden change of God's mind or his plan from time? So, his plan from time has been that light will shine in the temple. Altogether, right? So look at Matthew. Where did you go to?
Matthew 16.
16. Look at look at 13. Then Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, and he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah. What some of the other ones say, some of the prophets. But he said unto them, but who say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art what? Christ, the Son of the living God. Now Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. What is Bar-Jonah? Son of the man called Jonah. Mm-hmm. Are we together? Right? So, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Look at verse 18. And I say also unto thee, thou art what? Peter, and upon this rock, right, I will build my church. So, this building of church, is that the same thing Jesus promised about destruction of temple and the third day resurrection?
Yes.
Right? So, it says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not what? Withstand and prevail against it. And I will give thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. You see, some people are very naughty. So people believe that there is the key to economical or financial, whatever this thing that God has given to the believers. And it's just so unfortunate when I think of how, you know, a lot of times we don't just sit down a little to reason a little further. Do you understand? You see, when you read the Bible, make sure you leave your thinking cap on. All together. Right? Make sure you leave your thinking cap on. You know, I always tell you, people that believe that this so-called materialism, gospel, and everything is part of the, you know, so what is salvation? Salvation is what's Ozo? What's Ozo? It's all encompassing. You know, this is really cool. Yeah, yeah. My wealth is my. So when you see them singing, my wealth is in the cross. There is nothing. You that are sounds, that are thinking of the real world. They are thinking, how will you get to me now? So I say, oh God, please bring me my future money. Let me start spending now till I get there. Right? So people think that the key, yes, is that God has given us the key to the economic world. If a believer is not in power, these people a lot of things disprove that now. Are we together? That's why he tells you, the next thing he tells you about keys, he says, whatever you bind. So it means the key has to do with binding. Are we together? Yeah. Whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. And whatever thou shalt lose on earth, what is heaven and earth concept? What is heaven and earth concept? I've been teaching this throughout the day. The temple. Supernatural and natural. So it means that binding and losing, heaven and earth, has to do with the conversation around the temple. So how do we bind and lose? Is when you proclaim the truth. Are we together? What is it, bind and lose? It's not necessarily teaching out. Are we here? Do you understand? Are we here? Right? He's not teaching demon casting. He's teaching about the resurrection reality being taught. How do you know? Look at verse 20. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man what Jesus has said, that Jesus is the Christ. Look at verse 21. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again on the what? So the third day resurrection, is that linked to the temple?
Mm-hmm.
Is that linked to the new heaven and earth?
Yeah.
So what does that mean? It means when there's a new heaven and earth, the old heaven and earth will be destroyed. What will it mean? It means it should be put in the right place where it doesn't have any matter again. Mm-hmm. Or doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Okay. So that's why Jesus says, a time is coming when people shall worship me where? Remember now, the woman at the well, he said, people come to this place for to worship. He said, the time is coming, people worship me in spirit and truth. So what is Jesus talking about? The reality that is accomplished with the new heaven and earth. So what? Another way you can say what Jesus said is what? You see this temple? It will be destroyed.
Yeah.
And the new temple will be built when?
Yeah.
On the third day. Are you following that?
Yeah.
Right? So if you look at verse, so what is he saying? He's saying, I will suffer. They will kill me and I will rise again. What did Peter say? Act apostle Peter.
God forbid.
Over your living body. You shall not die. You shall not die, but live to declare the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Say amen, Jesus. Say, Jesus, I'm praying for you. So, when your brother taught me faith, why are you not using your faith? Look at it. The Bible says, Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee. No, you shall not see evil. What did Jesus do in the next verse? Jesus turned back and said unto Peter, get thee behind me. He said, Satan. Please, if you've been listening to me and you've not been listening to me, at least continue whatever you are doing. When Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan, he wasn't dealing with a demonic activity. When Jesus said this to Peter, Peter was not hearing Satan or Satan like you hear today. Don't forget, we started use Bible words the Bible way. The word Satan in the Greek is the word Satanas. Has nothing to do with demonic spirits. Look at 1 Corinthians 5. So when you say, don't worry, just you know now, when we're growing up, there's what we used to sing. Satan has fallen in the gutter. Step on him, step on him. You know that song? Look at 1 Corinthians 5. Our dear brother Paul. See what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 5. I love this chapter. He says, it is reported that among you there is fornication. And this kind of fornication is not even named amongst unbelievers. That somebody should have his father's wife. He now says in verse 2, and ye are puffed up, and have not even mourned, that he that has done this deed might be taken away from amongst you. For I verily, as absent in the body but present in the spirit, I have judged already, as though I were present, concerning him that had so done this deed. Right? Look at verse 4. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when ye gather together, and my spirit with the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, deliver such a one unto who? Satan. You see, the highest writer of in Christ's reality is that made it very clear in scripture is who? Paul. So Paul has already taught that when a man is delivered, he is delivered from the bondage of Satan and is now in what? God's kingdom. So he can't say you that you've been delivered from Satan or from the kingdom of darkness into God's kingdom. What do we do? Because you are doing this, let's send you back. Auto reject. Are we together? Are we together? Now, the word Satan, there's the word Satanas. What does Satanas mean in the Greek? That which opposes. So let me ask you a question. I think I said this a few years ago. Who is Satan in 1 Corinthians 5? The one forgotten. The opposer. Who is the opposer? I didn't say change the name. I said who is Satan? Is it the opposer? I didn't say explain it. Who is Satan in 1 Corinthians 5? The church. Listen well, low. I didn't say everybody in church is church of Satan. I didn't say the church is up. No. You must see that Satan in the culture as used just means that which opposes. So what was the church to do in 1 Corinthians 5? Oppose that conduct. What was Peter doing? Opposing what Jesus had to do. So when Jesus says, get behind me, Satan, what is he saying? Get behind me, you who is trying to oppose what I need to do. So it means that Jesus needed to die. So the death of Jesus was all a play of God's love and God's plan from time. Now, this is an interesting question I want to ask you. I asked this on Wednesday. Who was the sacrifice of Jesus to?
Man.
Who was the sacrifice of Jesus to?
Man.
Okay, let's start. Who was the sacrifice of Jesus for?
Man.
Echo.
Man.
Who was the sacrifice of Jesus to?
Man.
So, Jesus shed his blood. Right? Are we together?
Yeah.
Right? For man.
Yes.
To who?
Your
look at it. If I told you I love you, for instance, if I told you I loved you, right, and I went to the window, and I jumped down of the window, out of the window, who am I jumping for?
Me.
Who am I jumping to?
The ground.
Let me somebody that is in church. The ground. You can take a man out of a man. You can take a man out of this. This is your position. This is your position. Let me look at somebody that is following. He says the ground. My brother Sam. So if I said I loved you, and I want to prove my love for you, and I opened the window and I jumped out. So another man, right? Mm-hmm. I opened the window and he jumped out. Who is he jumping for?
For you.
For you. Right? And who is he jumping to? So, who is affected by seeing that expression of love?
You.
It is you now.
Yeah.
So, think about it this way. So, God wants to show you he loves you. He now dies so that his mind is conceived that he loves you.
No.
He doesn't add up now.
Doesn't need
it. Do you understand? So, God is saying, I love you. Right? Then he now says, I want to die so that my death will be to me. No, it is so when man sees his death, man says, oh, he truly loves me.
Yeah.
So who was the sacrifice of Jesus to?
Man.
It has to be man. So God is not that bloodthirsty God who is seated in one heavenlies. And as soon as Jesus just died, he packed all the blood inside the basin. And he now took it. Here I am. Are we together? So the sacrifice of Jesus is an expression of God's love to man. Let me close in 1 John. Man. So it is your conscience, it is your heart that sees it. So your heart sees a demonstration of love. I say, oh, I now accept you love me. Because the moment you say God needed the blood, you have as well said, you can as well say God and Ahmad Yoha are siblings. All together. I've never noticed, I'm not asking you, I've never gone there before. From the films I've watched, I've not gone before. When you go to a chief priest, the people we call Babalawo, right? When you go there, what do you usually want to see?
Blood.
Do you understand? Please help me ask her if you have gone there before. You don't need to ask her. Help me ask her. Have you gone there before?
An old man.
Okay, an old man.
I'll know it.
Right? So they want to see blood. Now, the question that becomes, Jesus Christ, Bible tells me in Numbers, that the life of the flesh is in the blood. So when you see blood, what should you see? Life. So when you say, what has washed away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What is the blood? Life. Because the blood that spilled out from the skin is not what God you see. But the life that we see after the resurrection. Do you understand? So what you believe is not that blood spilled, I believe I'm saved. No. It is that even though blood spilled, he went to the grave, conquered the grave, and on the third day he rose again. So what do you receive? His life. So if you are saying his sacrifice is about his blood, that is his life, did God need his life? Does that make sense now?
Yeah.
So what did Jesus give to mankind? A sacrifice of his blood. Yeah. What did Jesus give to mankind? A sacrifice of his life.
Yeah.
So who needed the life? God.
Man.
Do you understand? So it is the man that needed the life. Do you understand? So who was Jesus sacrificing his life to?
Man.
A man now. For man. The moment you say that God needed his blood, you have as well said that God is like Shango. Who needs the blood to be persuaded? Are we together? What got a man saved is not the blood that spilled from the skin of Jesus, but the life that he gives upon the resurrection. That's why the Bible tells in John 3:16, I close there. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. To who? Okay, for who? For mankind. To who? Mankind. For God so loved the world that gives him because whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have what? Ever. So God doesn't need to believe in the life of Jesus for God to be saved. So who's the life for? The life is for man. So why did God demonstrate his love that way? It is because man wants to see to believe. All together. You know, for some of you who have done long distance relationships before. I was together. When somebody's telling you over the phone, the person is in China, you are in Burkina Faso, and you always tell me, I love you. You see, the day he surprises you at the front door of your house, and then told you, I love you. And he comes with a basket of flowers, right? And he puts it down and he plays music behind. So, who is he working on? Whose mind is he working on? He's expressing his love for you to see that I really love you. So, what will you now see from all of that? Wow, you booked the ticket. Wow, you paid for this. Wow, you flew. Wow, you bought flour. What? So who is all those things are going? So is he giving you flour for him to believe he loves you?
No.
So God has been full of love from time and he wants mankind to. So God is saying, I want mankind to know I love them. But watch out, I'll come in the flesh. But for now, let prophets keep saying it.
Yeah.
They kept saying it. They kept saying it. Then he came. And he lived amongst men, like a man as a man. In fact, that was what shocked man. Do you understand? The shocking thing to man was that he said, you are God. God that they gave birth to. You don't know what you are saying. You don't even know where you are coming from. Right? And all of a sudden, they killed him. Guess what? Out of the love of God, it was all in the plan. Those who killed him were the people he was dying for.
Yeah.
The last man that flogged Jesus, his sins were paid for by the resurrection. So after the resurrection, if that man The man doesn't need to say, I'm sorry I flogged you. No, he's believe he's alive. Yeah. He is your brother. He's your brother. See, that is why you don't relegate people. Don't think you are the holiest person in the world. It will shock you, your siblings. It will shock you who your siblings are. You see, God's children are not the people that are the holiest people in the world because of their actions. They are the people that are the holiest people in the world because of his actions. So his action demonstrated to man is a show of his love to man. So what does man need to do? Man just sees it and look and believes it. First Corinthians, first John. I said I was going to close the light.
Yeah.
It's not by increasing your volume. It's not by increasing your volume. It's like increasing your volume. Before you go to first John, I'm still going to close in first John. Before you go there, look at. Anyways, if I touch that, I'll get troublesome this afternoon. So just go to your first John. Look at first John 3. Verse 16. This summarizes what I've been saying since. 1 John 3:16. Are you there?
Yes, sir.
See what it says? Hereby perceive we the love of God. What's it saying? This is how we understand the love of God.
Yeah.
Because he what? Laid down his life for us. So when somebody says to you, how do you know God loves you?
He laid down
his life for my sake.
How do you love somebody? You laid down your life for your brethren.
Nice.
Yeah. So in the next verse, he tells the spirit. He says, and we ought to what? Lay down our lives for the
brethren.
Everybody, come. These are words. These are words. Yeah, don't tell them outside. You see? The Bible. The Bible doesn't teach self-love.
Mm-mm.
When you come to the hierarchy of love, who is number one? The moment you put yourself as number one, you have a long way to go. In the hierarchy of love, the person you love the most is who? Your other. You see, God did not demonstrate his love towards you prioritizing himself. Did you get that?
Yeah.
So if you are to do the God kind of love, you will have to prioritize others. So when you start seeing the religion, saying, it's my life, anything I want to do, I can do. Don't tell me what I don't know. Even you say you don't even know it. Don't tell me anything. It's my life. Anything. I can do anything I want to do. You see some believers, they are so good in keeping malice. I've met someone before. The person knows I'm always pro peace, and I always tell you to forgive. Pastor, I know what you will say, and I know the scripture you will use. What a heart. This person, I cannot forgive. When the Bible now tells you to whom much is given, what is expected? Do you know what you've received? That you've become born again, not because of the actions you stopped, nor the actions you started,
but
because of his action. So in all of this action movie, who is the chief actor? God. So you receive, so you watch his action, you receive of his action, you believe his action, then you act on account of his action. I'm saying it on Wednesday. Why do you think a lot of people have struggles in their various relationships? Either marriage, relationship, boyfriend, girlfriend, fiancé, almost there to marry, close to marry, never marry. Why do you think people have those issues? They've not come to understand that priority is when you understand God's love for you. It has, you see, God's love, whilst it is something good for you, is a burden. Don't miss that statement. The love of God on your heart is a burden. What does that mean? It means you are obligated. You are like he has locked you up. You are obligated to act on account of his love. Hereby passive with the love of God. Romans 8, you say, that while we were yet without strength, Christ died for the ungodly. Let me tell you, dear saints, Jesus Christ did not die for the Christians alone. Jesus Christ died for the world. God doesn't love you more than he loves an unbeliever. Above Jesus, the difference between the believer is that the believer has received of God everlasting love. Right? So, that notion to think that God wants to destroy the entire world, then you'll just be picking a Christian, they'll just be disappearing. No. You see, I will look at Matthew 24. You know, the people that disappear are the ones that are in trouble.
Yeah.
You know that story? You know that story you read when you were growing up?
Yeah.
That two people will be sewing, and the person, the second sewing machine will just go. Somebody, people say they will hold their leg. Go with me. The people that disappear and people in trouble,
yeah,
they've been captured. The instruction to the people that remain says run. Wrong, wrong. Yeah. So, in the real sense, by default, the believer is someone that is. How do I get all of these things? It's all of you that I bring. Okay. So, hereby, perceive with the love of God that He laid down His life. Now, look at chapter 4. Let's just go to chapter 4, verse 10. Oh, no, no, no. I will not be right if I don't read verse 9. And it won't be good for all of us if you don't read verse 8. So it's better we read verse 7.
Okay.
Yeah? So, beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. 1 John 4, 7. Look at verse 8. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Look at verse 10. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sin. Beloved, verse 11, 1, 2, 3, go. If God so loved us, we ought
to love one another.
So the love of God demonstrated towards you is a burden you need to carry. What is the burden? So what do you owe an average human being on this earth?
Love.
How will you understand what you owe another believer? By understanding what God has given to you. So that's why you can't really understand how love plays out without understanding how the chief actor of love, the chief superintendent, the chief giver of love, you need to understand His love. You were without strength when He died for you. You were the ungodly, you were in darkness. Right? Only God is a God that can be bold enough to walk through the land of Pharaoh and pick you from the claws of Pharaoh. And it doesn't just put you and throw you away. It picks you and takes you through the Red Sea. Walks you through the Red Sea and takes you to the what you call the Promised Land. Then when you get to the Promised Land, what happens? You've come into His kingdom. You now see there's what? The land flowing with what? Milk and honey. So it means you are never hungry. So Jesus will tell you, Matthew 6, our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth, as it is in heaven. You give us this day our what? Daily bread. What is daily bread? The bread that is sufficient, eternal bread. It quenches hunger forever. When you eat God's bread, you don't need to eat again. Are we together? Right? He says, you give us our daily bread, that is to say, you forgive our sins. So that what? We forgive our debtors. Hallelujah. So we talk about the wooden love, the love of God on the cross. That is the demonstration of God's love to mankind. So that when you see, can you imagine somebody doing something as drastic as going to the cross for your sake? No better way to express love than that. How can a man choose to die for a good man? Talk more of a man wanting to die for you than you are very. They call it, they say you are Terry, your nickname is Terry. But your surname is Boo. Right? And yet, in the midst of your stinkiness, God says, I love you with an everlasting love.
Yeah.
And He picks you. And you see the funny thing? He's speaking you is to wash you by His blood. No, the funny thing? He's washing you by His blood is the same thing as giving you bread to eat.
Yeah.
And in giving you bread to eat, He's giving you water to drink. And in giving you water to drink, as I would say, He clothes man with the robe of righteousness.
Yeah.
The garment of salvation. So everything done at once, instantly, He takes you from Egypt, brings you to the Promised Land, and in bringing you, He counts you, He houses you. You become a member of His temple, and He gives you food. And He says, this food you've eaten, you can never be hungry. Sufficient. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Say, I'm born again.
I'm born again.
Say, God loves me.
God loves me.
Say, I'm loved by the Father.
I'm
a supernatural man. Say, I'm born again.
I'm born
of the Spirit. So it's been a pleasure to bring us what you're with this beautiful morning.